Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take the sources you're interested in and really pull out the core insights for you. Fast, thorough, so you walk away informed, not, you know, buried in information.
Exactly. And you sent us this transcript from GM Wintermute's YouTube channel, Waterdeep Dungeon of the Mad Mage, SC06E014K, a specific session you wanted to get a handle on.
Yeah, that's the one. Season 6, Episode 1.
Right. So our mission here is to really dig into what happened in this particular session. The key moments, player choices, the surprises, what we can learn from their delve in this season opener.
Okay, let's jump in. Season 6, Episode 1, they kick things off opening a door. Standard stuff.
But what's behind it? The transcript mentions 3 mana cores and 3 memory horse.
Yeah, sounds like a mishearing maybe. It clarifies later they're likely manticores.
Manticores. Okay, that makes more sense. Nasty creatures. Winged lion body, scorpion tail, spiky.
And the room itself sounds pretty grim. Soiled tapestries, humanoid bones lying around, broken stones for beds. Not exactly welcoming.
Definitely not. And what's interesting, their first reaction, right at the start of season 6.
They close the door.
Yeah, they don't charge in. It's immediately like, hold on, let's think. A tactical retreat.
Suggests caution, doesn't it? They even talk for a second about maybe just walking past them.
Which tells you they're weighing risk versus reward, even with something dangerous like a manticore. But the choice gets taken away from them, right?
Pretty much. The door starts opening by itself.
Okay, so combat it is. Surprise round kicks in. What do they do?
Quick thinking. One player passes mirror image. That's the one with the duplicates, yeah.
Yep. Creates illusory copies. Makes you harder to hit. Good defensive opener.
And another player takes the dodge action. What's the benefit there again?
Dodge just imposes disadvantage on attack rolls against you until your next turn. Simple, but effective for survivability. They're thinking defense first.
Smart. Then the actual attacks begin. A frost cantrip hits one manticore. Slows it down.
Ooh, battlefield control early on. Always good.
Someone ducks behind a pillar for cover. Then we get sacred flame. A spiritual weapon pops up.
That's the floating magic weapon, right? Bonus action attack each turn.
Exactly. And then, bam, magic missile, 7 darts.
7. Wow. Okay, so they're focusing fire. How's the manticore looking?
Pretty rough already. Significantly wounded, the transcript says. Good start for the party this season.
But the manticores react too, right? They don't just sit there.
Nope. One flies up, heads towards the door, maybe trying to flank or escape.
Could be. Smart monsters.
Another one tries a tail attack, throws 3 spikes, but misses. Dodged, I think.
Lucky break, those spikes can hurt.
Then a big spell comes out. Slow. Hits 2 of the manticores. How bad is that for them?
Oh, slow is crippling. Cuts their speed, drops their AC, and dex saves, limits them to either an action or a bonus action, and only 1 attack per turn. It's a massive debuff against multiple targets.
Wow, okay. And they follow it up with fairy fire.
Even better. Or worse for the manticores.
Right, makes them glow, so attacks against them have advantage. Roll twice, take the better result.
So now they're slow and easy to hit. Not looking good for Team Manticore.
Not at all. The already wounded one gets hit by magic missile again and just drops. First kill of season 6.
Nice. What about the others? One was in the doorway, right? Slowed.
Yep. Tries to fight back. Tail flick, bite, claws. But it's got disadvantage from someone's warding flare.
The reaction to impose disadvantage, cleric ability.
Sounds right. And partial cover, too. But it still manages to land 1 hit.
Shows even hindered monsters can be dangerous. Never count them out.
True. But the party keeps pouring it on. More sacred flame, though, one saves. The spiritual weapon keeps hitting. Toll the dead gets cast.
That's the cantrip that does extra damage if the target's already hurt, isn't it?
Yeah, though they seem to be making their saves against it for now. Then another volley of magic missile. Takes down the second manticore.
Okay, just 1 left. Also slowed and lit up by fairy fire.
Presumably. It gets targeted with Ray of Frost. Another sacred flame. It saves again. And then finish him. More magic missile.
And that's the 3rd one down.
That's all 3. Fight over. Pretty efficient work, really.
Seems like it. They mentioned the wand of magic missiles, though. Something about charges.
Oh, yeah. It has limited charges. And using the last one risks destroying the wand.
So resource management, they're burning through charges, but no, there's a potential cost. Adds a nice layer of tension, even to using a powerful item.
Definitely. Okay, so manticores dealt with. Time to see what treasures they were guarding.
The fun part. What did they find in the den?
Let's see, 25 gold pieces, a chain shirt, a flute, and a silver necklace with a bloodstone pendant that's worth 250 gold.
Decent. Not a king's ransom, but the necklace is nice. Anything else on the bodies?
Nope. Transcript says nothing else of interest on the manticores themselves.
Typical Undermountain, maybe? Rewards aren't always just on the monsters. Sometimes it's the environment, the exploration.
Speaking of exploration, the den has four exits. Now they've got choices.
Where do they lead?
One goes north to a 30-foot square room with a troll inside.
A troll. Classic. Regeneration. Nasty claws. Always a tough fight.
They didn't go that way yet, though. Another corridor heads south, curves east, then branches again, east and south. Lots of passages.
So they need to scout. How do they handle that?
Smartly, they send in a familiar, a bat.
Perfect. Low-risk intel gathering. What does the bat see?
Down the south and east path, it finds a room with tables covered in rotting meat.
Ugh. Charming. Any exits from there?
Yeah, north and east. And the bat also checks out a hallway going further south from the branch, which has another corridor north and a door south.
Okay, mapping it out bit by bit. Any movement down the southern end?
Bat reports nothing moving down the final southern hallway. Seems clear for now.
What about that room with the rotting meat? Did the bat check the exits?
It went north first, revealed another room, also with tables of rotted meat. But it spots something else, a copper tankard with a hinged lid.
Ooh, treasure. Or just a tankard.
Looks like treasure. Someone uses mage hand to grab it from afar.
Clever. Avoids potential traps or, you know, touching rotting meat tables.
Right, and the tankard turns out to be exquisite. Maybe worth 25, 30 gold.
See, value in unexpected places. Always pays to keep your eyes peeled, even for small stuff.
Okay, next they check out another door. This one feels like it's propped shut from the other side.
Hmm, interesting. How do they open it?
Strength check. They manage to push it open just a bit.
And what's blocking it?
It's kind of sad, actually. A female dwarven skeleton is leaning against it. Tattered leather armor, a skull cap, clutching a dagger and an empty tin flagon.
Ah, another failed adventurer. The empty flagon maybe trapped and ran out of water.
That's what it sounds like. There's a table in the room with a burglar's pack, but the lantern and oil are missing. Adds to that theory, maybe. Lost in the dark.
Yeah, paints a grim picture. Poor dwarf. Anything else in the room? Undead vibes. Traps.
They check. Divine sense reveals nothing. No undead, celestials, fiends. No traps detected either.
Did they search for secrets?
They did. Someone even used a minor illusion, a drunken dwarf, to see if anything in the stone room reacted.
Huh. Creative test. But nothing.
Nope. No secret doors, no magic detected, just a sad little scene.
A reminder of the dungeon's dangers. Okay, we're next. Back to the other paths.
Looks like it. They explore the east hallway from the rotting meat room. It curves north, leads to another unfinished section, and an east door.
Unfinished sections. Hallister's work is never done, is it?
Seems that way. The north hallway from that same room also seems unfinished and ends at a portcullis. More dead ends or blocked paths.
This place is a maze. Okay, so that leaves the east door and the south door the bat saw earlier. Or did they take the troll path?
They haven't tackled the troll yet. They tried that final door. They found the eastern one off the hallway that curved north.
Got it. And behind door number?
A big room. 60-foot high ceiling. Feels like a tomb.
Okay. Tomb vibe.
Yeah.
Anything inside?
Yeah. Statues. 11 lifelike statues clustered at the south end. Various poses, different creatures and humanoids.
11 intact. Are there signs of others?
Yes. 6 empty alcoves that clearly once held statues. 5 of those are toppled and smashed. But the 6th alcove on the east wall
has an intact statue.
Exactly. An intact statue made of glistening black stone. Stands out from the others.
Definitely suspicious. Black stone, intact while others are smashed. Divine sense picks up anything this time.
Still nothing. No immediate magical or otherworldly aura. They take a closer look at the statues. One's a carrion crawler.
Ew. Okay.
And it's wearing a copper crown with arrowhead points.
A crown on a carrion crawler statue. Weird. Lootable.
They think so. Mage hand to the rescue again. They retrieve the crown safely.
Smart. Always use the tools.
Yeah.
Now, what about that black statue? Did they investigate it?
Someone touches it.
Uh-oh. Famous last words in a dungeon.
Pretty much. The moment they touch it, the black covering comes alive. It slays off, revealing this heaving mound of sticky black sludge underneath.
No way. A black pudding. It was disguised as the statue.
Looks like it. Talk about a surprise encounter for season 6.
Black puddings are nasty. Acid damage can split. Okay, combat again.
Yep, initiative. Fairy fire immediately goes up on the pudding.
Good call. Light it up. What else?
Someone throws an ice knife, hits, but the transcript notes it has cold resistance.
Ah, okay. Cool's not the best choice then.
Toll the Dead is attempted, but the pudding makes it save. And then it attacks.
How bad is it?
Bad. It hits one of the players, bludgeoning and acid damage. Knocks them unconscious instantly.
Whoa, down in one hit.
Yeah, and the acid starts dissolving their armor. Non-magical armor gets a permanent -1 AC penalty. Ouch.
That's brutal. Armor damage is serious. Okay, player down, making death saves. This just got real.
Super real. Someone casts Scorching Ray, multiple beams hitting it. Fire might work better than cold.
Hopefully. Did anyone try hitting it in melee?
Someone tried to cut it, but the transcript notes it failed. Maybe realizing hitting ooze with slashing weapons isn't always smart. They can split.
Right, that can make things worse fast. What else did they throw at it?
Another ray of frost. Maybe just trying anything at this point.
Yeah.
More Toll the Dead attempts. Finally, one works, and the pudding dissolves or collapses.
Whew. Close one. What about the downed player?
They get stabilized with a healing kit. Back up with one hit point. Very close call.
Definitely. And the statue is hiding in. Any significance?
Turns out the black stone statue depicted Gand, the god of intervention.
The irony. After nearly wiping someone out? What a fight.
Seriously. They checked the area where the pudding was, but it wasn't hiding anything else.
And the damaged armor. Can they fix it?
They try mending, maybe. But the transcript suggests it's likely unsuccessful against that kind of acid damage. The penalty probably sticks.
Rough. So after that ordeal, what's the plan? Press on.
Nope. Smart decision time. They decide to take a long rest. They use Leman's tiny hut for safety.
Good call. Need to recover spells HP, especially after someone almost died? Any admin during the rust?
Yeah, they identify a cursed longsword they'd apparently found earlier. Always good to know what cursed loot you're carrying.
And plan to head back and sell.
That's the plan. They've got the necklace, the tankard, the crown, plus whatever else they've gathered. Time to cash in.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So they head back to the surface.
Yep. Back to town. They sell off the mundane stuff, gets them about 626 gold after factoring in the usual percentage merchants give.
Not bad. What about the special items? The cursed sword.
Someone actually buys the cursed long sword for 10 platinum pieces, so 100 gold.
Risky buyer. Okay, what else?
They had a greatsword plus one that sells for 50 platinum, so 500 gold.
Nice. Good magic item sale.
But the big one. Remember that withered heart they apparently found off-screen sometime before this session?
Vaguely, yeah. What about it?
It sells for 500 platinum pieces.
5,000 gold for a withered heart.
That's what it says. Massive payday. Someone immediately plans to get their plate armor enchanted to plus one.
I don't blame them, especially after that pudding nearly melted it. That's a huge influx of cash. They also got XP, right?
Yeah, XP awarded for defeating the flesh golem and a bandit captain they apparently fought after their long rest just before heading up. That wasn't detailed earlier.
So they had another fight after the pudding and the rest. Okay, the end of the transcript must describe that then.
Exactly. Gives a brief rundown. They encountered them in a zigzag corridor leading to a 20 by 20 room, a flesh golem, and a bandit captain who was dressed like a vampire.
A vampire disguise. Interesting. Were the enemies aware of the party?
Yep. Seemed like they knew the players were coming. Combat started right away with initiative.
What were the opening moves? More caution?
Looks like it. Dodge action again. Someone cast a minor illusion of a pit, try to control the golem, maybe?
Smart. How did that work out?
The flesh golem apparently triggered the illusion and moved towards it. The bandit captain stayed back behind the golem. Someone tried true strike, too, though maybe incorrectly used.
Yeah, true strike is often tricky to use effectively. Needs concentration, gives advantage on your next turn's attack.
Okay.
So golem distracted.
Then a player attacks a golem, hits it with a smite. Big damage, probably.
Taking down the big threat first. What about the vampire?
The bandit captain attacked with a scimitar and dagger, hit once, then got targeted with sacred flame, saved, and hit by that warding flare reaction again.
That warding flare is putting in work this session.
Totally. Finally, the bandit captain goes down to a scorching ray.
So they dealt with both of them. What was in that room?
Just described as sleeping quarters. There was a trunk, and inside, a disguise kit.
Uh-huh. Confirms the vampire look was just an outfit. Clever bandit.
So yeah, quite the session to kick off season 6.
Definitely. Let's recap this deep dive then. We started with that cautious approach to the manticores.
Right. The tactical retreat, then the focused combat using control spells like slow and damage, like magic missile.
Followed by exploration, using the familiar, finding small treasures like the tankard and that grim scene with the dwarf skeleton.
And then the big surprise in the tomb room. The animated statue turning into a black pudding? That was intense.
Super intense. Nearly took a player out. Damaged armor. really raised the stakes.
And then the profitable trip back to town, especially that massive sale of the Withered Heart.
Wow.
Wow.
Which funded that armor upgrade. And finally, the cliffhanger fight with the golem and the disguised bandit captain.
Any moments that really stood out as surprising aha moments for you?
The Black Pudding reveal was definitely one. And the sheer value of that heart. You never know what odd component might be worth a fortune. Also, their consistent tactical thinking, using cover, familiars, defensive spells first.
Yeah, the resource management seemed pretty solid too, like knowing the risk with the wand, deciding to rest after the pudding fight. They weren't just charging blindly.
It really shows how a single D&D session, just this one episode, can have so many different phases: combat, exploration, social interaction, selling loot, problem solving.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, right? What would you have done differently facing those manticores or that pudding?
Or what other weirdness awaits them on level two, or deeper into Undermountain as season six progresses? That encounter with the disguised bandit suggests more intelligent, organized opposition, too.
Exactly. And giving you that shortcut to being informed, sparking those kinds of questions, that's what this deep dive is all about. We hope this gave you a great overview of GM Wintermute's season six opener.
Thanks for diving in with us.